morning. If you haven't been here before, Dustin just wrapped up a series. So this will be part one of a new series called Hark. All about Christmas season and Jesus and why that story is so important. But more importantly, it's kind of focused on this strange word, hark, we kind of overlook. But there's some pretty big implications for it. So this is going to be coming straight out of Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. I'm going to read this pretty lengthy scripture, so bear with me for a sec, but we'll read this scripture and then we'll pray again real quick. So Luke 2, starting in verse 8. Now where there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, keeping guard over their flock at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you the good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly a vast and heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, that the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off, located Mary and Joseph, and found the baby lying in a manger. When they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these words, pondering in her heart what they might even mean. So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and everything was just as they had been told. Let's pray again. Dear God, just so grateful and thankful for this incredible story of Jesus' birth. God, a king born among men in a manger. Nobody would know about it, God, but you divinely gave prophecy to these angels through your angels, God, to spread the word throughout Bethlehem and bring glory and salvation to all mankind. God, it's such an amazing story that just shares your true intent and heart and character. We're so gracious and we glorify you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, it's a strange word, hark. It means to like beckon, to like call attention to. Really, aside from a few Christmas songs, I never really seen it in context outside of that. Trying to think of like what words I would use to hark my children. It's like, hey, or what are you doing? Or sometimes it's just they hear my footsteps, and that's all it takes. Hear the footsteps coming, they know what's going on. For those who are new here, I just separated from the Navy a few months ago. There's lots of things they say to get your attention. Maybe some that are not super PG-13, so we'll just exclude those. But often they would just call you by, you know, your rank, and that was it. There's no real respect there. It's just, hey, you blank, come over here. The term hark is actually used by hunters. It was used to encourage their dogs to sniff out a scent and find its location. Some synonyms for hark include things like to hear or heed, listen to or pay close attention to something. And for these hunters, they would hark back, which meant to find the scent again. Did I lose a page? Nope. I'm just losing it today. We're good. So yeah, the hark back would be if the dogs were losing the scent, they'd come back. They would send them off again to go find the scent and track it down. So starting at verse 8, let's go back over what we just read, this lengthy verse here. The shepherds were nearby, living out in the field, keeping guard over a flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. I'm trying to grasp what, if you were trying to get word out to the most people possible today, who would you consider going to be like, hey, can you get this word out now to like everybody? You would think of like CEOs and leaders of major, you know, news outlets or like a social media site or like political figures. You wouldn't consider a couple of homeless people under a bridge in Seattle and say, hey, really big news. I need you to go tell everybody. That's almost what happens here. You know, these angels appear for these shepherds. And at the time, shepherds were not held in high regard. They weren't high political figures. They weren't really cared for. So God's effectively sending his word to people in the dark of night, off on their own, tending sheep mindlessly. It's just such an amazing story. It might seem like a mistake or like, I don't know, maybe something that didn't intend to happen but worked out anyway. But, you know, as we all know, there's no coincidence or mistakes when it comes to God. It's very intentional and planned. And what I've come to find is that God often sees far more than just our titles or our positions or, you know, any respect we might have. Instead, he sees our hearts. And God can actually see through, you know, what you might call like your spiritual resume or your past. And instead, he knows our hearts. So he knew what these shepherds were capable of. He knew the type of men they were. And of everybody he could have spread the news to, he was like, nope, them right there. Those are the guys. In 1 Samuel 16:7, we read, "People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. He knows us. He knows what we're capable of. And it's greater oftentimes than we could ever imagine. Sometimes we're called to things that we don't really feel comfortable with, but we're capable of doing so much more through God when he calls us to these things. So in verse 10, it continues, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you the good news that brings great joy to all the people.'" So angels have appeared now. And this is where they're harking. They're calling attention to the shepherds. They've appeared. The shepherds are freaking out, rightly so. But they're saying, hey, wait, chill out. Calm down. We have good news for you. Do not be afraid. And it was no secret, really, for them to keep. It wasn't this, hey, guess what? Savior is born in Bethlehem. And then they left. In fact, they came to them with news that wasn't just destined for them, but for other people. And this makes me think about, you know, oftentimes it feels like we're out in the field, kind of abandoned and not thought about. And maybe we get some powerful, you know, word or direction from God that's not really meant for us. Maybe it's a call to give our time to a family member that we aren't super close with anymore. But that means so much for them, and it wasn't really for you. Or maybe you're blessed with finances out of nowhere, and God calls you to give it to somebody else. It's like, hey, here's this great blessing. It's actually not for you, it's for somebody else. That's often the case when it comes to God. He works in ways that don't really make sense. It's news that came to these shepherds, but wasn't just destined for them. That miracle was destined for everybody. And they were going to be the catalyst. You know, mere men had to carry this message to Bethlehem and actually proclaim it to people. They had to actually take action. So in verse 11, we continue. "So today," they said, "your Savior is born in the city of David. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." This is also something I didn't notice before when considering this message this morning. The people in Bethlehem, right, they have no idea that there's a miracle right next door. So just like the shepherds felt sort of outcast and forgotten about, even people in the city of Bethlehem who might have been desperate for a miracle, calling out to God, and there's a miracle right next door they just didn't know about. And how, I don't know how many times that's happened to me. Recently, I think I've said it before, for those of you who haven't been here the past couple months, we just spent this past November, it's the second year of my mom's passing. She had fallen, her liver failed, years of alcohol addiction. So this time of year, past years, there's just not that oomph in like anticipation and celebration. There's just not quite as much there as there used to be. So we were mourning that, grieving that still. And then my dad, he's also been battling his own health. In 2015, he was diagnosed with skin cancer. And they did all these surgeries and treatments to remove the cancer from his body. And he was technically cancer-free for like 10 months. And then it metastasized, I think that's the way you say it, back into his lungs. So it became lung cancer. And it was super aggressive. This was 2017. I was in Hawaii. And yeah, they had said, I think this was around October, and my mom had called and said, hey, they're saying he's not going to make it past Christmas 2017, that year. So we're in Hawaii. We just got there. Like, the Navy moved us there. And it's a really long story. It's a whole other great miracle story I wish I could get into. But we effectively moved ourselves out of Hawaii to Bangor in Silverdale to be close to our parents, which is not legal. The Navy doesn't allow that. No branch does, but it happened. It's a very amazing story, but yeah, you know, we move home in this miraculous way. But then he gets this miraculous treatment. It's a special type of radiation that froze his lung cancer sort of in place and stopped it from spreading and growing in size. So it's the second time it's a miracle. It's like, my God, this guy is so, God's so amazing. I bring that up because that's kind of been the case for the past couple of years. But they did another scan a few months ago, and it had spread again. So it was in little spots all over his body. And one of those spots was his heart. That was kind of like their biggest concern because you can't really directly treat the heart. So for a few months, they were doing this once-a-month treatment straight into his veins. And it just wrecked him after he got that treatment. He couldn't eat for like a week. He kept losing weight and losing weight and losing weight. And they finally did a scan a little bit ago, and it wasn't working. So my dad decided to stop. It was looking pretty grim. So we're doing, as we're grieving my mom, this news comes up. So then it's, you know, we're planning stuff with my dad, you know, final preparations. Really hard time. And then just this past week, I was calling him because he was supposed to get an updated scan result this week. And he called me back. And he said, well, I got an early Christmas gift. The treatment actually did work. Many of the spots that had appeared before are just gone now. And other spots that were in his body have shrunken. He had a tumor on his tongue that's shrunken. And the spot on his heart they were so concerned about, in this scan, it's not actually on his heart. It's sort of in his upper stomach. So it's not even on his heart at all. So just like these shepherds, man, I felt out in that field. Just, it's like we're already grieving loss of, you know, my mom. And then we get this worse news, and it's looking really grim. But even in that midst, God still came through again and again and again. Just such an amazing gift of God. My dad is still around. Okay, this matters. That's why I bring it up. So verse 13, we continue. Suddenly a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those with whom his favor rests." I definitely gave God glory in that phone call. It's just absolutely taken by surprise. My dad makes light of things, but even he was very shocked and stunned in that phone call. But, you know, my mom is still gone. My dad's health is still, it's like he's still in this fight that just won't give up. So sometimes when we're in these fields, these times of our life where we feel abandoned, there's probably people in this room I know who have called out and prayed to God for a miracle, but that miracle never comes, or at least in the way we expect it to come. It's really unfortunate that sometimes this life we live can be so beautiful, full of miracles everywhere we look, but also terrible pain and loss. I still will do this from time to time. You know, walk by my girl's room at night, And I just ache because my mom was so close. You know, she didn't get to meet my son, her grandson. She didn't get to see like these critical moments of her granddaughter's life. She was just getting to know them. We just moved home. I could find myself getting really bitter at that. So I'm like, God, you're capable. Look at what you're doing with my dad, you know? Like, where was the miracle for my mom? I can start to think like that. But sort of to give credit to Dustin's message last couple weeks, I could choose to reframe my mind instead of thinking like that in those losses. I can instead think about just the sheer miracle it was that we even got to Washington for the grand girl, for my kids and her granddaughters to meet her the last 2 years of her life. We weren't supposed to be there for another 3 years. We were supposed to be in Hawaii for four. So there's all these little miracles that happened. And, you know, when the girls smile and laugh sometimes, it looks like my mom. I see my mom's face in Locke's face. The girls and I talk about grandma all the time. You know, she's still a blessing to us, even though she's gone. And more so than that, I think what's so unique about God and the relationship we have with Jesus is that I'm going to see her again. And that's something you can't get anywhere else. There's no promise you can get that's going to get you that. So I can feel bitter resentment that, man, she didn't get to see this stuff. She's seeing it now. It's hard for me to see and know. But more so, the grandkids, me, we're all going to see her again. That's only possible through Jesus. Verse 15 continues, when the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's taken place, and the Lord has made known to us. So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in the manger. So what's most important here is that they heard the news, but they actually had to take action on it. They weren't just given this great news to sit on, like I mentioned before, but they actually had to go take action to actually spread it for everyone else to hear. Oftentimes I feel like that's just very similar to how Jesus works in our relationship with him. You know, we can just clock in and out of church every Sunday, right? We can clock in and out of all these events and just kind of stay checked out and just check the box like, hey, I went to church today. Hey, I went to youth group. Hey, I went to this event. Hey, I did this thing. But like, that's not enough for Jesus. That's not enough for God. He deserves more. He deserves our best. We need to actually take action on these miracles and gifts and talents that we have, that he's called us to use. So just like these shepherds, he's calling them to be who he's made them to be, men of action. They were not destined to forever just spend their lives mindlessly in a field watching sheep at night. They're actually called to something greater, but they had to take action. God didn't bring the action to them. He gave them a call, and it was up to them to actually take call to it. The point here is that you should not, do not sleep on God's call to action for you. In fact, we need to trust him and lean into his calling. You know, oftentimes, the way Jesus works, he can call you into things that you're not super comfortable with. You know, I don't have a great relationship with some of my own family even right now. And every day just eats me away. So I still pray. And I still will go to family events with them, even though it's not easy. You know, and that could go for anything, any number of things. But, you know, it's actually best to start practicing this pattern of, God, you're calling me to this thing. I have no experience. I've never done this before. Or it's really uncomfortable. Or they've really hurt me. Or I don't have the money for it. Or whatever the excuse is why we feel uncertain. God is the one literally calling us to that. It's going to succeed, period. If God's on the other end of that, it doesn't matter how you get there or what obstacles are in the way, you're going to get there because God's called you to it. So just like these shepherds. What's crazy to think about too is, you know, these shepherds, they've heard of this prophecy, you know, hundreds of years before this day. And if you want to use the term hearken here, like we were mentioning, they're being called back to something that they already were told about and knew. And every day, we're being hearkened back. Every day we wake up, we're being called back to action. Back in verse 17, when they saw him, they related what they had been told about his child, and all who had heard it were astonished at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these words, pondering in her heart what they might mean. So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, and all they had heard on the news, and everything was just as they had been told. If I can, I'll call the worship team out really quick. I haven't had a chance to share this yet with many of you, but it's about a month ago, a little over a month ago, Dustin was doing a message up here. Full disclosure, I don't remember what he was saying, okay? But I was sitting right back there where my wife is. Locke, my son, has passed out. I'm just kind of enjoying the moment, holding him. And in that moment, at that time, I had separated from the Navy, and we were about 2 months in of no work. So, like, money's tight, we're trying not to stress. I had accepted a job that I just didn't know when I was going to start. Of course, during this 2 months, everything happens that requires tons of money right then and there. So it's like, just the worst timing for stuff. Still trying to trust God and lean on him. And again, no updates from work, this new job. And in the middle of Dustin's message, he had said something like, you know, God's got it covered. Like, you can have that peace now. And that, just those words resonated with me in that moment. And I was like, just this huge weight off my shoulders. Like, gosh, that's so true. Like, I'm good. I don't even need to stress. Just totally felt God's, like, peace just totally overwhelm me in that moment. But more so, I felt God specifically say to me, you will actually hear from your new job tomorrow. And I haven't actually shared, when those kind of events happen, I don't really share it, but just, I felt like I was supposed to. So in the car ride home, I was like, hey, talking to Ari. It's like, we're going to hear from Amazon tomorrow. She was like, what? So explain the whole thing to her, and she's like, okay. So the whole day is going through. And then, you know, the next day comes, and I keep checking my email. I'm like, you know what? I'm not worried about it. So I kind of forget about it. And it's like 11 o'clock midnight, almost. There's no message. So I'm like, well, you know, God said it would happen. So I'm just, even though it's literally about to end today, I'm just going to go to bed and trust that he's got it. And at like 1:30 in the morning, we got an update email from my work. It was like, hey, you know, you're good to start on this day. And I hadn't heard from them for like 3 weeks. So it was just, I had no idea when I was going to hear back from them. But just in the middle of that field, what it felt like, another field, just another time where I'm like, God, I felt so called to get out of the Navy. I felt so called into just starting this new part of our life and being involved at Bayside. And nothing's happening. Like, we're just burning through savings. All these finances are coming up that we can't afford. I'm not hearing from this job. Did I even get the job? I'm not hearing from them for 3 weeks. Like, what's going on? But I chose to trust him anyway. And that's kind of how our relationship with God works. So even in these fields, God shows up. And he often shows off. I'm sure you've heard that before. He doesn't just show up, but he shows off. You know, for these shepherds, he didn't just show up and give them wealth. Or he didn't just show up and make them kings. He didn't show up and double their livestock. He didn't show up and give any, like, physical miracles, right? It was just, if you think about it, it was so much more than that. You know, when you receive these miracles and blessings, oftentimes it's not a physical thing we can hold. I received peace in that moment. It wasn't anything tangible, but it was far more valuable than I think any sum of money could have given me in that moment. You know, we were once told the good news before. We receive it here in church through Scripture, but we have to, like, take action. We actually have to be proactive to do something about it. So if you're in the church this morning feeling sidelined, or maybe like you've done your ministry and your work and your time's over, that's not the case. God's calling you today, just like he called these shepherds, to hark, to take heed and listen, because there's great news coming, and they had to actually take action to give it. We are actually all called every day. We wake up. Every day is a new blessing that God's given us. We just got to give it back to him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your provision and your plan and love for us, God. There's no way we could fathom the plans or the actions you have behind the scenes we don't know about. And whether we feel abandoned in a field, God, or abandoned in our finances or our job or in the loss of ones we care about, or maybe we just lack direction, God, I pray that you would inspire in us the need to lean on you anyway, because you've got it covered. You had it covered for these shepherds. You had it covered for the people in Bethlehem. You had it covered for everyone who received word that day. You've got it covered for us now. God, the story of Jesus' coming and his birth is the greatest news we have ever heard. But it's not destined for our ears alone. His blessing is not destined for us alone. We're called to live out his calling and his blessing in our families, God, in work, in commutes. God, anyone we pass through deserves redemption, deserves your blessing and calling. And that's what you've called us to. I pray you'd be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.